Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me for another episode of what used to be called The Adventures of an Everyday Goddess, trying to be extraordinary or living an extraordinary life. And it has now evolved, thank you to the amazing guidance of a new connection, a true soul connection. Her name is Shari, and she does public relations. And she said, "You've got to change that." And I listened, and I'm grateful. So, Shari, second episode of being Everyday Bianca. So, my friends, it is Yom Kippur, and it is, I wish everyone who is listening to this today, and if they're listening it to in the future, an easy fast. And I don't want to be disrespectful by saying the Hebrew interpretation of wishing everyone that they may their life be sealed in the book of life, or may their year be sealed in the book of life. So an easy fast to everybody. But I do want to talk about this. I do want to talk about what Yom Kippur is in the podcast, and a little bit just about seeing things and why everything really does have this correlation to everyday life. And I say spiritualism for the mainstream because it isn't just about high holy days. Yes, we observe them, and I'm grateful for them, and they are markers not only for, you know, a unified thought of doing something like this and an awareness, but also that this is something we really should be doing every day. And it's great because throughout different spiritual modalities and those that have moved themselves into organized religions, whether it is Catholicism, Judaism, Buddhism, there are Christianity is a practice of living away. It's not necessarily a religion. You know, Buddhism, it's funny because, you know, it's a practice in living, but yet there are very specific holidays and high holy days that we recognize. And there's all these wonderful crossovers that happen because really, truthfully, religion was just a way of creating a vessel to hold all this spiritual energy so we could connect and unify. And it's not bad. You know, it just means that we shouldn't be separated by it either. And here you have today, Yom Kippur. And I had met somebody the other day, and I had asked him, and he was a very colorful character of a personality, very charismatic. And I have to say, if I never meet him or run into him again, it was an honor and a pleasure to have spent time with him the other evening, because he enlightened me tremendously. So did his friend, and just their life and just his outlook was just refreshing. And I'm grateful for that, Stephen. Anyway, I had, you know, tongue in cheek kind of asked, you know, I always thought it was very funny about how, you know, in Judaism, you celebrated New Year first and then you atoned. And I was like, well, shouldn't it be the opposite? Like, you should really like atone then and then celebrate the New Year. And he brought to my awareness something that really is across the board. And that is, as you enter into the New Year, you really do want to reflect upon it. Right. And you want to, before you kind of go fully into it, you want to seal those books, you want to seal those chapters, you know, the book of life, you want to seal it, learn those lessons, get those karma corrections, atone, which means that I don't want to do them again. I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to look at things. But then I want the part of the atoning is to make mention that you will not do it. And listen, I personally do not understand. Here in New York, there was yesterday protests in the city because the Orthodox Jews sacrifice hundreds of chickens, spinning live chickens over people's heads to absorb their negative energy, to help them atone, and then they kill the chicken. I don't get a sacrifice. Why does the chicken have to absorb your negative energy and be sacrificed for it? That makes no sense. And yes, I understand that I do teach about and speak about soul victims, and that we have warriors that have come into this world with the main service to take away negative energy. So yes, we could look at that and say that was the chicken's karma. This is the chicken's soul contract. But yes, we always have to have that other awareness, you know, that why is it that we have to have these things? And that as we move through spirituality, as we move into oneness, that we begin to realize that we really don't have to have some of these old pragmatic dogmas that we've been carrying around with us. And that as we evolve, some of our practices need to evolve with us. But when I look at Yom Kippur, and I was talking the other night over dinner, that, you know, for me, this reminds me of Lent. And for me, Lent and Easter are the high holy days, as is this for Judaism. And the 40 days of Lent, and that, you know, we then started talking about that Moses had 40 years in the desert, and that there were times where Moses was missing from the stories, as was Jesus, and as is a lot of our very public physical entities, deities. Even Buddha is asleep for 1,000 years. You know, so that they are kind of not in action. And where are they? What are they doing? Right. But still, to just be so mindful of our crossover, that we all, in any of our practice, whether we are Hindu, whether we are pagan, whether we are Wiccan, whether we are, and listen, paganism is not about worshiping the devil. Please stop that. Pagan, in its original form, the word meant villager. So it was Constantine, in the creation of his version of the Bible, wanting everyone to be bowing to him, that altered things and said pagan, because they worshiped holidays and multiple gods, and he felt he couldn't connect to multiple gods. He called pagans, and he said that the villagers were evil, and that's how Satanism now becomes paganism. So they're two separate different things. But anyway, even if it is Satanism, even if you are, that's your belief, you have to realize that we're all believing in one specific thing. So we, here we are at a point that this time, Yom Kippur, falls in the week of the fall equinox, the 22nd, and it's in Libra. And this equinox is the balance of light, or day and night, right? We have it in the spring. You could put the egg on its end, and it will, on its pole, as Stephen would want to remind me, because the other day when I was going to eat this olive, he said, eat it around the equator. And now I'm beginning to realize that when he said it, I was being given a message that the equator, the equinox, what we were getting ready to be experiencing this week. So there's all these little insights that we need to start to pay attention to. But, you know, there's a balance. The energy is balanced. You can put something on its pole, something that is egg-shaped or oval-shaped, and it will balance. It will stand up. So here we have this energy of a high holy day for this particular part of the calendar that not all of us celebrate, but it is a calendar. It is a marking of time for a culture. And it is the balancing of life. Learning and seeing where light is in darkness, learning to see where darkness is in light, learning and seeing where we stand, not only in the events that we feel are harmful to ourselves, but where we ourselves need to atone and see our actions and where did we invite those things in. And I am looking at that myself from this week. So for me to look at the equinox and Yom Kippur coming together is this beautiful energy of saying we are one. That's what spiritualism is, that we can connect to this oneness, that you do not have to be Jewish or Catholic or Hindu or anything other than a human being or being human, and to connect that every day we can start new. We should go to sleep at night. A great practice is to look to things that we are grateful for. To go to sleep with that sweetness on our minds, the things that we are grateful for. And when we wake up the next morning, in that energy, in our prayers before we start our day, is to look at the day before and see where we could have been our personal best. If we gave it 100%. Was I fully present? Where are the areas that I maybe was not balanced and in harmony, and how can I be better today for that? And I love that. I love that. And that we can use those energies of constantly balancing to see gratitude and then to see accountability, you know, and use them together to help create harmony within ourselves. The bottom line is not everything is beautiful. The podcast at the beginning of the week spoke about free will changing destiny. And I mentioned that part of, for me, I don't know everything because my own free will would probably change destiny. And that is not what I'm here to do. I'm here to experience it. I don't want to keep getting in the way of it. But there are things that happen because of not my free will, but the free will of another, that can create pain, bitterness, resentment. Now, that will be on me to keep carrying it. Either I let it go and I learn my lesson, and yes, it hurts and it stings, and no, I don't have to like that person. I do have to respect the exchange of energy between us. I do have to love unconditionally, and that means not to want to seek harming them. But no, I don't have to hang out with them. I don't have to like them. I don't have to agree with them. And I don't have to agree with what happened. But I can offer it up to God for God to correct for me and offer the highest good to be served for all of us. And again, what happens in destiny, it will correct itself. God or the energy or life has already multiple realities that are already taking place. See, because our seed thoughts that we think, those inspirations that we have and that we let go of because the next one comes in so fast, have already kind of set out on the path in front of us and be created reality. So we have hundreds of thousands, millions of realities that are ours and that we can connect to. And those are those insights and inspirations that I talk about, those little gems that get dropped by the universe, by life, throughout the day, and that we should be mindful for. That's why I mentioned Stephen, and even that our conversation, truthfully, I wasn't aware the other night of what we were even going into. I totally forgot about the equinox on the 22nd, but yet, just his simple conversation to me about eating this amazing olive that had a pit like an apple around the core and not on its poles. And I just couldn't fathom what he was saying because I was like, what? And then he was like, how do you eat an apple? You eat it around the middle, around its equinox. So his words, maybe inadvertently, he didn't realize how much of a message he was giving me. And that gem that got dropped, I absorbed then on my way home. And that gem then started to cultivate into what today's podcast is. So thank you. But that is what this is about, this mindfulness and not beating ourselves up when we're in the absolute minutes of life and saying, why wasn't I aware at that moment? I'm so stupid. No. But when you're mindful later, when you can take those moments of quietness, stillness, and have contemplation, pondering, that's when we can see it. So for right now, they say about sealing the book of life, right? So it's really sealing the chapter, right? Everything's always in transition. We're always turning the page, going from one sentence to the other. Some sentences have periods. I always say I love the comma because I don't know if everything should be period finished. Addiction should be period finished. For the moments that we're in, I don't know what the next moment holds. But we're constantly turning these pages, and yes, chapters close. One of my favorite quotes from a book that is now in a movie, and everyone uses it, and for me, it always held something a little bit different, is leave the gun, take the cannolis, from The Godfather. And everyone laughs at that line, leave the gun, take the cannolis, because everyone thinks it's hysterical. Come on, leave the gun, right? Leave the evidence. Screw it, who cares? Leave the gun. Don't take it with you, because if someone finds it on us, we're screwed. But take the cannolis, don't be stupid. Don't leave the sweetness behind. Take that good shit with you. That's how I see this. Leave the gun. Leave the vessel that holds the toxic energy. Don't have to take the characters in our play, in our movie with us. We could take the sweetness with us. We could take the cannolis. I don't have to take what happened, the people that were involved in the story last week with me. I can leave behind those people. I can leave behind those women that were involved. They know who they are. I know who they are. I do not need their physical presence with me anymore. I closed that chapter. I made a choice yesterday when I spoke to another friend about what Yom Kippur was and remembering the words of Stephen from the night before and what this means and remembering what Lent is, remembering what accountability is, being mindful of atoning. I made the choice to sign something that I originally wasn't going to sign just for the mere energy of letting it go, not to taking those people with me into my next chapter. A tremendous financial loss for me right now. But the light that I gained is immeasurable. Because that light just sealed the crack in my vessel with gold. The kashugi in my life. The toxic energy, the toxic lacquer that is holding together the broken pieces of the cup of my experience from that time that I just had has just been dusted with gold. And now my vessel shows the beauty in the breaks. So I signed it. In that, I let it go. Had my last few words, I'm not going to lie. Some of the energies thought they were cute, sent me thank yous with prayer hands, fully realizing that I put the gun down. I don't want to spend the next 3 months looking at any one of them over tables with lawyers. I want to be free. They don't need to thank me. I know that their thanking was really more of a slap in the face. I got it. It's okay. I deserved it. I deserved the cold reality so I could be more mindful. But what I take away is the sweetness. I'm taking the cannolis. I'm taking the sweetness of all the energies that I got to meet, all the beings, because in this short period of time, I met tremendous, gifted, talented beings. Some that I might not ever see again, but I will remember their work, their gifts, their talents. Some I know will be with me for the rest of my life, and I am grateful for that. There's my cannolis. I had friends that know me very well that listen to the podcast and can understand through knowing me what I had gone through and reached out to tell me that they loved me and they understood. That they shared their stories of things that happened to them. Not to rehash it, but to find that unity, not misery in company. But to say, look, it did hurt, but time does heal all wounds as long as you allow it. As long as you leave the gun and take the cannolis. As long as you let the chapter close and leave those characters in the written word there in chapter 15 and take the foundation of your story to start chapter 16. So we are in this amazing energy. Now, Mercury is not in retrograde, everybody. So I know y'all think it, but it ain't. Venus, though, is. And that is right now what I told everybody, and I remind myself, is when Venus goes into retrograde, she takes off the rose-colored glasses and says, I want you to see everything in its authentic, transparent reality. Pimples, wrinkles, lines, scars. The beauty of the essence, not necessarily the glitter of the material. To see us all for who we are, and to have to allow and accept, to surrender. There are things that are very tough. We know that I deal with an addiction in my family. Every day is a new day for me. There are days where I can embrace the sobriety with him, and there are days that I want to choke the addiction out of him. I love him, but I have to face the cold realities. Venus takes off the rose-colored glasses so we can become accountable and atone. So look at all this amazing life dynamics that are happening right now. All these planets that have been in retrograde season, are releasing us, right? Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury are all releasing us. And yet other planets start to retrograde so we don't forget. So this accountability and this atonement, Venus all about the beauty and loving us so unconditionally, and just being this representation of the divine feminine in a very powerful, unconditional way. And let me tell you, unconditional loving can be quite the lesson on its own. But still in it, what this retrograde offers is to say, love unconditionally. And yes, maybe sometimes when we take off the rose-colored glasses, we need to look away. We need to walk away. We need to seal the chapter. We need to take the cannolis and go. Leave the dead bodies behind. That's what they are. To be like an eagle and not to feed on the dead. To let go of the events that have happened. To soar higher. To catch the next frequency of energy. To not try to look behind and fight the crows that bite our tails, but put our faces up to the light. Seek the vibration that vibrates higher and clearer. Spread our wings and float effortlessly. To take the lessons as reminders, not to harm others, to be more accountable, to forgive, and to forgive ourselves. Because we hold on to guilt. If something's gone wrong and somebody inadvertently gets hurt by actions that we've been involved in, we can carry that guilt. One of the first things I did the other day was apologize to two beautiful beings that I actively engaged in gossip with. I didn't know them. Didn't know of them before the gossip. Didn't know them during the gossip. I allowed the gossip. I allowed the conspiracy to take root. And what I did was I did not shut it down. And at times, yes, I perpetuated the story because I believed it. And I was wrong because I did not seek to have all the information. I acted in a conspiracy. I did not act in good faith because I was not acting in faith. So here's these opportunities during this week, this energy, to see where we can create balance in our own life, where we can let go and surrender, forgive, and not necessarily forget, but to be accountable to atone and to move forward. Those are beautiful lessons if we choose to learn them. And look, You're going to learn them today and forget them tomorrow? Probably. I know I have to have constant reminders. I ain't walking on water just yet. Just yet. And there are days where I know I am probably more the crow than the eagle. And I am grateful for my mother, for as much as she wants to bite at my ass, is as much as I bite at hers. And one of the blessings that have happened over the course of this year was being able to have my mom come live with me. I miss my aunt terribly. She's moved to Florida. But I get my mom, and I've had these moments to share in time that we lost when we weren't living together. I left my house when I was 19 and intermittently came back and forth home, usually with a group of people with me. The house was never empty between me and my brother. There was always a stray living with us. Our doors were always open, as I mentioned. My father taught us that the doors would always be open. And it's funny that I look at the line from the movie The Godfather that, you know, leave the gun, take the cannolis. And I think of lessons that my father shared with me while he was alive. You know, he was killed at 44. I was 18. And we had a tumultuous 18 years together. He was young. He was a young parent. He was a young parent that was involved in a very violent world. And, you know, God bless him. He was trying to figure it out and was taken before he could. Free will, change destinies. You can't change fate. Those lifetimes will circle back around. Still, my father would say things to me when I was younger, and I would think to myself, this man is off his rocker. He was, but even more so. Mazzolas are like turtles. Our shells are tough. And when we're tough and the times are tough, no, we don't get going. We put our heads in the shell and we wait for the storm to pass. And then we come back out. And I used to think to myself, what the hell is he talking about? And mind you, we found a tortoise during a hurricane I'll never forget, down the shore. We had a house in Manitowocan, and after a hurricane, he had forgotten that he had thrown down crab nets, and we pulled one up, and there was this poor 2-foot tortoise stuck in it. And we took him back to Washington Township, New Jersey with us, and the poor tortoise walked off the property. I don't know what made us think he wouldn't. And we never saw him again. But I thought, like, wow, like, isn't that so cool? Because my father says all the time, we're like turtles. We put our heads and our necks back in our shells, and we let the arrows and everything come down. And then when it's clear, we stick our heads back up. But what he was saying is there's times that we need to surrender, that we need to go in, that we need to go within ourselves, because that is when we're our weakest. And this is where we regain our strength. This is where we recalculate, re-strategize. He saw everything like The Art of War. That was one of the books that he wanted me to read, and I did, and he taught me chess. And it was about learning the strategies. That The Art of War was never really about war. It was about learning how to live life strategically with benefits. And that, you know, you look at things and that you do need to take times to surrender. I surrender in these moments. I give this up to God because I cannot see clearly right now. I cannot see the forest from the trees. So I go into my shell. And when I come out, I am stronger. I am re-energized. I am restored. I can see clearly. I have a better path. My view is abstract, and I can now, and not obstructed. It's abstract. I can see the alternative realities. You got to also remember that my father was also the one that would say, always take the higher road. Always do better, take the higher road. And his thing on it was, because then you'll be above your enemy and you could spit on top of their heads. Or throw stones. He usually used to say spit. I'm not a big spitter. I don't like spitting. I think it's very disrespectful. But, you know, so for him and his train of thought going into the shell was also protecting yourself, because someone was at that moment in a higher position, had a better vantage point in the battle. So you need to protect yourself at that same time. You know, in the course of the past few weeks, I did not protect myself in the battle. Instead of being strategic, and why now would I want to, because I'm free and clear of it and I'm grateful, but I didn't. I stayed out fighting and became more reactive. And that tired me out. That made me exhausted. So it's the balance of light and dark. It's the balance of understanding both. You cannot understand light fully if you do not understand and embrace the darkness within us and that surrounds us. The yin-yang symbol has the dark side with a circle of white or light in the middle of its thickest part. So if you look at the yin-yang symbol, right, it looks like a weird teardrop in a way. It looks like a sperm, truthfully, right? With a big head and a tail. And it wraps around like in 69, right? The number 69, you know, to the light. And if you look at the light, at the head of the light, right? The thickest part of the light, not the tail, but the head of the light in the yin-yang symbol has a circle of black or darkness dead center. And their tails actually dissipate into what creates the full circle. The infinity, number 8 on its side, there's a middle where things meet. The equinox, where the balance of light and dark happens, there's an equal amount of energy that creates the balancing. People, you know, we're in Libra, and people think Libra is always about justice, about the creation of balance, and it is. And sometimes we get lulled into thinking that when we're in Libra, that we're balanced. No. The fight is to see where we're out of balance. The battle is won within, to stop the struggles and to become accountable and see where we are out of balance. You know, where these days, where the weather is starting to change and the energy is so thick right now, not only from the storms of Florence, but just from what's surrounding us, it's easy to get lost. So really truthfully finding that balance. You know, I am the first to admit there are times, where, especially in my own yoga practice, where I am out of balance. I have not engaged lately in the physical practice, and part of that is due to some of my own physical limitations. But there were times before my physical limitations where I would do 3 yoga classes in a row as a student, hot yoga, and then I would teach 2 or 3 that day. That's a big out of balance, my friends. And although people could look at it and say, oh, look, she's creating so much balance. Look at what she's doing. No, I went out of balance. I went so far into another reality that I didn't want to be in the reality that was my present moment. Very much like what we see sometimes when people are going through AA, you know, and that they in the beginning, they might go to 10 meetings a day if they could. You know, and how an out of balance that could really be because they're not facing another reality. So these are the moments to realize that don't fool yourself by thinking I'm taking the high road or I'm in light or I'm going to meditate or I'm taking these moments of recuperation and I'm going to stay here, because then that could actually be hiding in procrastination and denial. So it is a fine line sometimes, this spiritual shit. This light. And I have to remind us, we say things like ignite, Big Bang Theory, that, you know, friction is what creates it. Things need to break in order for us to see where we need to repair and to become stronger. So for some reason, when this human experience was created, this is how we, I guess, saw we had to create it. I think if you see us as the physical vessel and a spirit having to find its way into something that is so hard, right? The inhales and the exhales and how we are able to move energy. You know, I guess it is something that we chose. That we need to see things be explosive in order to create the calm. To have chaos in order to see order. I just repeated myself, sorry. It's crazy. And look, I do understand the premise of sacrificing. I just do not believe in the sacrifice of an animal to atone for our sins, nor do I believe in the sacrifice of another human to atone for me, to atone for what I need to be accountable for. So, you know, I love the idea of fasting, that I will create hunger within myself. I will create this hunger so I can be reminded of hunger. So I never forget hungry when I am full. I will never forget the trials and tribulations and the hunger of another when I myself are feasting. And when I am feasting, to be grateful for my feast, to never forget it, to be bountiful, but to always remember that that bounty has come because I'm harvesting and there will be a time again where I'll be hungry. And that hunger is what drives us. The dark is what makes us seek light. Self-medicating is what reminds us that we're in pain. The key is not to self-medicate, but to face the pain. We've all had lives that have, you know, offered us sometimes events that seem so biblical in reality, so grandiose, that when we share our stories, others shake their heads. And that is our path, not somebody else's. So on this day, I'm inviting you to take these moments. If you're not Jewish, who cares? Like I said, whatever the marking on a calendar is, it's only a marking as a reminder. When we close our books and we open them again, it's we look at the chapters as a remembrance, not to relive. To take the cannolis and leave the violence and the anger and the toxic and the hurtful behind, including our own actions, to allow each inhale to be new inspiration, new life force and chi, and the exhale, a repurposing, an upcycling of that we let go because it has expired and no longer serves its highest purpose for us in the energy that it's in. That life is constant transition. And that the more we are willing to be like turtles and to go in and surrender and to take those moments to restore. And as we reckon, as Brené Brown would say, as we retell to see where we are, the reckoning of a map is to see where you've been, to determine where you are, so you know how to get where you want to go, to look at the insights that were dropped yesterday, at the end, in the next day, to be mindful of what you missed, to be accountable and to remind yourself that that chapter is closed and I am dedicated to doing my personal best today. So an easy fast, my friends. And that every day should be this for us. Until the next episode, which I think are going to be more likely 2 to 3 during the course of the week, as opposed to 1 once a week. I'm going to create the schedule because I like this idea of following the stream of consciousness and thought straight through. Very much like how my yoga program on Burn Along is. It's still up there. It's under Renegade Yoga. And that is the 3-week program is a beginner's well, actually, it's for everybody. It's all levels. It's multiple levels. But it is based on 3 different classes in those 3 weeks, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it starts with the inspiration and it breaks it down and then it moves it into the flow, into the practice. And each week leads and builds upon the next. So Friday's class on the first Friday of the first of the 3 weeks is only 20 minutes long. But the Friday class on the last of the 3 weeks is 45 minutes long. And you add to it. So I am going to keep that platform, that outline to the podcast itself. And I want to say thank you to everyone this week. I know it's only Tuesday. Crazy. That really assisted me in hearing my own insanity, to helping me find light. Sharon, I want to say thank you for holding space and holding light and sharing stories and working with me. I'm grateful. Again, you are a blessing that has come from a time that was turbulent for both of us and one that I am forever humbled by. Thank you to Stephen and Shari. I want to say thank you and a big shout out to Brian and Alex, whose podcast is Wise Words from Decent Men. Pimping ain't easy, babies, that is for sure. Pimping ain't easy. And I want to thank you both for always being present with me and sharing that you are tremendous souls of light and do offer tremendous amount of wisdom and revelation for your very young ages, and that I will be back at Chaos with you, getting this body, this physical vessel toned again. Time to atone by being in tone. And until the next episode of Being Everyday Bianca, I want to encourage you to be you, to be your best authentic self. Do your personal best in everything. And when you haven't, be aware of it. And then just try harder. Because there are days that sometimes our personal best might not even meet our own standards and goals. But that's okay. Because that's all part of it. And yes, my friends, I want to leave you with, leave the gun, take the cannolis. Blessing, dear hearts. I love each and every one of you. Thank you for sharing. Namaste.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.